How did these skulls get whatever powers they might possess? How did it happen?
Well, two basic ways. One is the crystal itself. That crystal is a sort of rarefied consciousness that formed on our Earth. Hundreds of millions of years of pressure, chemistry, alchemy. Crystals record events. They have a storative property to them. Hence, we use them in the basis of our computer chips, memory chips, that kind of thing, that particular property. Well, the ancients knew of this particular property that quartz has, and they were able to infuse carvings and quartz crystals with the through a kind of psychometry and ritual and through sound. They were, and through intention, they were able to infuse these crystal skulls with their knowledge. Traditionally, they would record events, rituals, births, deaths, all kinds of things like that, and then pass that crystal skull down to their apprentices as a way of passing on the mantle of their tradition.
Have you felt the mystical powers of the skulls when you were around them?
Oh, absolutely. I'm surprised. For example, I was in the presence of the Mitchell Hedges skull two years ago for the first time. I'd heard about it, and you know, there's a lot of controversy as to whether it's a real ancient one or not. And regardless of that disputable fact or not, I got to see it. And the very first thing was I felt this whole presence around it. I looked into the skull, and I swear I saw spaceships, ETs, this kind of thing, this kind of imagery inside the skull through my mind's eye. And I rarely have that kind of experience with anything, and particularly so immediate. So so that's just an example of these things. A lot of these crystal skulls, especially the ancient ones, have either an oracle-like presence to it or a healing like presence to it. It could be a healing skull or an oracle type of skull. I had a woman from Pittsburgh about 3 years ago come out just to be with Shana Ra. And so she wanted to spend an hour with Shana Ra. And after her hour of meditation, I asked her how, what had happened for her. And she said that she had a question. That question was around her lifestyle being very, she had a great life with her family and friends, but something was missing. She knew she had some sort of mission or gift to activate in this lifetime, but it just wasn't being activated, even though her life was good. And so she asked Shana Ra this question in meditation, and what she got back was two scenarios of two past lives where she came to this exact point and didn't make the leap, didn't make the choice to go forward. And she realized that that's why what she had come to do this lifetime, to make that choice to go forward into the unknown and activate something that she hasn't activated before. Not out of desperation or crises or anything like that, but out of preference, out of being drawn to, out of being compelled to. And these are the kinds of experiences that people have around some of these ancient crystal skulls especially, and particularly Shana Ra.
All right, let's take a few calls, Kirby, while we have you for the next few minutes or so. Stephen's in Maywood, New Jersey. Hey, Stephen, go ahead. You're on Coast to Coast.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I just want to tell you about my little crystal skull.
Sure.
I found him about 2 years ago at a flea market, and I picked up a bunch of them, and this one said hello. I put it up to my ear, and he said hello. He told me his name was Jacques, and it's been a weird relationship, but one day I tried an experiment. Meditation, I just threw some energy into the skull in front of a camera, and he lit up through the picture. I didn't see this. Bright white and something red coming out of the top of his head, which I thought was quite unusual.
And it's made out of crystal?
Absolutely. He's a little guy. He fits in the palm of my hand.
Okay. And do you have any idea where it originated from?
No, the lady said a couple of them were made by a fellow, but he had a bunch, and she bought them all.
Hey, Kirby, how many of these are made over the last 20 years, let's say?
Well, thousands and thousands and thousands. Since the popularity has really peaked, it's we've got factories in China and Brazil, you know, pumping them out by the thousands. So, yeah. One thing I wanted to mention about Stephen's story here, one thing typical about crystal skull or skull consciousness that resides in certain quartz crystals is that it seems to talk to you. They seem to be speakers. It's like if this crystal doesn't shut up, you know, it's just talking to me. So that's kind of a characteristic of skull consciousness, whether it's in the form of a skull or not. Another thing that Stephen mentioned was the colors that emanated from them. Oftentimes when a skull is, in a sense, trying to find its keeper, it will open itself up. It will reveal itself on an energetic level to that person, and they see it. And it may not happen to the next person who walks by at all. It's just for that person. So it's kind of like a connection, a beacon for that particular person.
So it's not unusual for him or anybody to feel as if it's talking.
Not at all. Not all at all. Let's... You know, we talk to ourselves all the time, but sometimes there's that sort of other voice of the other, and that's a characteristic of these skulls. It's telepathically communicating something from somewhere.